Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Good way to start a prayer meeting, isn't it? Pray. Father, what an honor to be here with precious brothers and sisters to pray and to seek you. And we always find you when we seek you, and you're always present, always available, always inviting us to pray. And not only that, but you, Lord Jesus, ever live to make intercession for us. What an awesome thought that is. The creator and maker of all things praying for us, always. The Lord, as we are gathered here today, may we come with joy for who you are and what you have done, and may we come with your burden, Lord, really, for the wickedness and the sin. And may we learn from you again today in one of your prayers in the Bible, Lord Jesus. So teach us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's begin by singing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And the words are on the bottom of the back of the page, page 2. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. As you'll notice on right above the words of the song here, just some suggestions for today. During our group prayer, let's focus on our church nationally and locally. Let's focus on our nation, leaders, those in authority, the current presidential, vice presidential candidates. For our Supreme Court justices, we have 8 right now, 1 to be appointed, so pray for the next judge or judges to be appointed, and also for the police officers and military, and all those upholding law and order. Then we'll break into small groups probably a little sooner than we usually do, maybe 5 minutes sooner, and then let's use that time for your personal prayers and things that are especially interest of you that may not be necessarily an interest to everybody else. And on those personal prayers, whatever you bring up, you know, we need to keep things confidential here. We're not here to run out and say, you won't believe what so-and-so did because you heard it in prayer. We don't want to do that. If you're listening to prayer of someone else that is of any semi-personal nature at all, let's keep it just in that little group. And I think that would honor him. This morning, we are looking at one of the most familiar prayers that our Lord Jesus prayed, and it is so all-encompassing with respect to the subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Forgiveness is mentioned in the Bible about 100 times. It's not just a minor subject. We have in Matthew 5, 44, 45, Jesus quoting, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." And then in Matthew 6, 12, in the forgiveness of our debts with regard to the model prayer, in the prayer it's forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And after the prayer, it's repeated in verse 14, 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then Matthew 18, 21, 22, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." In John 20, 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So we see Jesus teaching forgiveness. But here we see on the cross, going on the cross, and being nailed to the cross, probably, we see Jesus giving an astonishing and awesome prayer considering the circumstances. "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." Very interesting when you look at the whole procedure and you look at the person, Jesus Christ, who came to die that we might have forgiveness of sin, right? And yet at the same time, he's being absolutely, totally, totally persecuted and all. He still is true to why he came, and that is to forgive us. And so he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when we think of this prayer and we think of the circumstances under which he prayed that, then how could you or how could I, if I'm a child of God, fail to forgive another brother or sister? And in our little mind, we might say, "Well, you don't know what they did to me." I would bet what they did to you doesn't even come on the scale compared to what they did to Jesus. "Yeah, but I was innocent." Was Jesus innocent or was he guilty? Totally innocent, right? So guilty or innocent is not a condition of forgiveness. I mean, you don't forgive somebody because you were guilty or you weren't forgiven. You're forgiven because that's what we're told to do, and this is what Jesus did. This is the first of seven things that we have recorded in the scriptures on Calvary. "Father, forgive them." The second was, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We'll get into that next week. And then third, "Woman, behold thy son." And then there was the 3 hours of darkness and all was silent. And then, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And we went through that prayer earlier, and recognizing that sin always separates us, and so there was that being separated from the Father there. And the fifth thing, "I thirst." Sixth thing, "Tetelestai," "It is finished." Seventh thing, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." So we see here, what can we learn from this prayer? We learn that we should pray for our enemies, even when they are endeavoring to hurt us in the worst way. We're praying that they would be forgiven. Anybody that's coming against you, pray for them. And when you start to pray for them, an amazing thing happens. Instead of this hatred, which is over the top, possibly for what they did to you or whatever, starts to melt away, and pretty soon you're starting to look at them as a child of God, not as an arch enemy, really. No other religion, not that Christianity is really a religion, because Christianity is a relationship, but there's no other religion that prays for the enemies, that prays for the enemies when they come against you. Typically, it's always revenge, 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 right? And we see here the model of the greatest sinner, which is standing in front of you right now, through the intercession of Jesus, may obtain pardon, right? So he came to forgive, he came to pardon. And of course, he says, for they know not what they do. Ignorance does not excuse us from sin. But I think Jesus, in praying for them, paved the way. And in a very few days, really, Pentecost, right? Pentecost, about 40 days, 50 days. Pentecost, of course, is 50 days after Passover. But on the day of Pentecost, now we have what? Well, we had 3,000 added to the church that one day. And undoubtedly, some of these people who were here crucifying Jesus most likely came full circle, confessed of their sin, were forgiven of their sin, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were born again. Isn't that an awesome thing? Rather than to curse them to death, which I would do if they were doing that to me. Kill them, Lord, kill them! I was so irritated as almost the same time I was doing part of this study yesterday, because I check with the news once in a while during the day, which is always a mistake because it's... But I'm listening to the crowd jeering at the time the silence was asked for the police officers being killed at this Democratic National Convention. And the reason I was so irritated was maybe not so much at these people who are jeering, although that's enough to make you upset, but the fact that one of the major political parties in our country permits that kind of thing to go on in their convention. And they introduced the mothers of all the people that were killed, not all of them, but I mean the ones that were in the headlines and all that, and yet they wouldn't even give silence to the policemen that were killed. So we have this disdain now. You know, it started to me in a way in Vietnam. When the soldiers came back from Vietnam, they were shamed. They were shamed to be in a uniform, right? And it has kind of snowballed since then. But in the last 8 years, it's really picked up steam with regard to hatred of authority and hatred of law officers. Because now it's becoming commonplace to shoot policemen, isn't it? And I hear a policeman, as soon as they can possibly get off duty, they get out of their uniform because they don't want to be in a uniform because that's bullseye on you to be shot. So that's where we are in this nation today. So I think we want to pray for this nation. We want to pray for the, if you go back to the law that the Lord gave Israel when they came into the land, there's always high, high, high degree on obedience. And when you look at, there is, I think it's six times in the book of Deuteronomy, it says to put the evil out of the land. If you write down every one of those to put the evil out of the land, they're really strong. Most of them are capital punishment. Most of them are. And today, if you say, you line that up with the same problem, of course, it's still with us, the sin issue, with what we're doing in this nation. For a while, we were just not enforcing that, right? But now we've gone one step forward and we are celebrating the opposite of that. Just look at perversity. For a long time, we failed to really be treating perversity as the Lord says it's an abomination to him, but now we have actually legitimatized it and are coming against anybody who won't be part of that, right? So we're so far on the wrong side that it's just like, forget it, accept that. The Lord knows all of this and it's all in the scriptures that that's what's going to happen the last time. And what are we to do? We're to pray for those lost people, because there's a harvest going on, or the Lord would have already returned for us, right? Or he'd taken us out one by one. So we have a task to do, and not to get too caught up with how rotten these people are and how bad the government is, and we could go all day long on all of that, but that's not what we're here for. That's not what the Lord has for us, but for prayer. And so let's pray for these things today. As you are led by the Spirit, we don't want to direct the Spirit and say, well, this is the only thing we're going to pray for. I don't mean that, but I'd like to have, you know, as much as we can, just kind of focusing together and not going off in too many tangents. And if you would, please keep your prayers very short. You shouldn't be praying over a minute, because if the Lord puts something on your heart, stay on that subject for persistence and for an answer to that, as opposed to just going one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. We've got other people here who can pray. And so however the Lord is leading you, but let's keep this group prayer short. And when you're into your small groups, and you can go a little longer if you want to explain situations and maybe a little bit more, but we know what the problems are. The Lord knows what the problems are. We don't have to spend a lot of time rehearsing what's wrong with this nation, but let's go to him now. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of the importance of forgiveness. And Lord, to just ask that you would hear the cry, I know you will, of anyone who approaches you. And I pray that they would be made willing to go, Lord. You will not violate their self-will. And there are so many today who have no understanding of you whatsoever. They have no understanding of what's right and what's wrong, really, to speak of. And they think that whatever they want to do is right, as long as they think it's right for them. And so, Lord, we have turned so far away from the absolute truth of the Scriptures and of the Bible and of your rules for us that we have lost our way. And yet, Lord, salvation's door has never been opened more widely, and the contrast between darkness and light has never been so great. And so, Lord, here we are this morning, and we just want to stand in the gap for a few moments and just to pray as you would lead us to pray. So guide us now, O Great One, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's pray in a group, and then a little later we'll break into small groups. In Jesus' name, amen.